Welcome to Flutter Spaces. The date is May 8th, 2024. Today we're going to be talking about a couple of Flutter packages, one called Mix. The other package is for creating slideshows similar to PowerPoint or Keynote with Flutter, both of which were created by Leo, who joins us today, as well as my co-host, Ray. Ray, how are you doing today?
Hey, Matt. Doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just trying to finish up as much work on Static Shock as possible before the full stack Flutter conference. Hopefully I can get that figured out here in the next week or so before submissions go in. We're also joined by Leo on stage. Leo, how are you doing today?
Hey guys, can you guys hear me?
Yep, you're a little bit tinny, but we can hear you.
Okay, thank you guys for having me, for the invitation. I always like to listen on Wednesday, so it was fun to finally join.
Yeah, happy to have you up here on stage and happy to hear about some of the things you're working on. I guess we'll give everyone a few more minutes to kind of trickle in. And by the way, Marco and Nawid, obviously you two are often in here and have things to say. Feel free to come up on stage at any point if you'd like to prepare yourself to ask questions of Leo or offer any commentary. But in general, again, we're just trying to wait until we get a bit of an audience here.
And while we're waiting, Leo, thanks for joining again. So if you don't know this about Leo, he's built a lot of some really cool packages, including FVM, Flutter Version Manager, or Flutter Version Management. So what I was trying to do is go through your profile, Leo, and find some good tweets about Mix. So I shared one into the tweet box, but if you have any others that you'd like to share, since you're a speaker, I think you can also share them up onto the tweet box as well.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that, and I'll share a link of the documentation website, because that's the a lot of the concepts and things we're trying to do and address, has been done through the website. So I'll share the link there.
All right. Yeah, I'm super excited to learn from I just understand this whole remix concept, because like we've talked about this a little bit before in the previous spaces, but this is like a new concept in the CSS and JavaScript world, where there's this concept of like mixing it in like some base styles or whatever. I don't actually understand it, so I'm really excited that we're going to learn about this today and how you're doing it in Flutter.
Yeah, very cool. I think there's been a lot of discussion, especially as Flutter continues to gain popularity and the use cases continue to broaden. I think people want to use Flutter and Dart for more and more things. And that's where sometimes you can see some of the challenges that come with it to address it. So I always like to say that I think open source is a love letter to the technology. So there's always an opportunity for us to, if things could be done better, or if we like to try something new, a new concept that we think maybe other languages or the stack have solved, and to try that in and bring that into Flutter to make a more approachable technology, something that people can get started more easily, or that addresses some specific problems a little bit better.
Yeah, super exciting. All right, for everyone who's currently in here in this space, thank you for joining us. If you want to tap on the comments in the lower right-hand corner, and if you can give our post a like and a retweet, or you can just give it a like, that actually help us, get started. So the algorithm can pick us up, and then we can, delve into the conversations.
We can probably expect that as we keep talking, more people will trickle in. So we can only wait for so many people, and other people will have to go back and listen to the recording. Why don't we plan to start with all of the mix-related topics, and then we'll get over to Super Deck in the second half. In terms of mix, which seems to be based on something from the browser world called Remix, Leo, can you help motivate the problem? And then can you also describe what that browser kind of solution is that you might be trying to mimic on the Flutter and Dart side?
Yeah, so just one adjustment. We all work on a separate project that is called Remix. But Remix, when it comes to the web, it's more of a React framework or similar to Next.js. So it's a little bit different. Mix comes from the initial problem that we had when we wanted to create multi-platform Flutter apps, and Material is great to get started, but it's very common for Flutter apps to look like Flutter apps, and it comes to a point that you have to start customizing Material a lot and overriding Material. And there's always a limitation when it comes to Material, because now you work within Material specifications, you're working within the Material theming system, and it becomes a little bit of a challenge. So Mix, you know, the initial goal of Mix to start exploring was to actually create a styling system for Flutter that will allow us to define visual semantics separately from the business logic within widgets, right? So that's the main goal, is can I create a system that can define styling, and with that I can compose, I can inherit styling, I can reuse styling without actually have to define widgets and get, kind of, no pun intended, mixed in with the business logic side, right? So in a way, which I don't think there's perfect analogies, because I think Mix has become almost like a CSS with Dart, but there's comparisons, things like Tailwinds and so on. But the main goal initially was to be able to create this abstraction, because once we have that visual semantic abstraction, it really opens up for a lot of innovation when it comes to even other tools there. So thinking of something like what CSS was for HTML is what makes us for Flutter. I think it's an imperfect but somewhat accurate analogy.
So I say, for me, I'm not sure I totally followed the root problem there. So, because you alluded to semantics and you alluded to CSS and some things on the web. Can you make this a little more concrete for us? For example, let's just say, what's kind of the epitome or the ideal situation that someone's facing where Mix would be an appropriate or a good solution or tool for them?
Yeah, so the case where Mix is ideal is not to replace how you normally define widgets, but it's when you want to create a consistent design language across custom widgets, right? So that's where Mix comes in and allows you to define things like design tokens, styling variants, without even starting to compose the widget themselves, right? So for example, it's very common on the website of things for you to have things like spacing, right? Where spacing is designed, particularly, let's say, design token, or shadows, they are very similar, or colors, they're very similar. And Mix allows you to define a lot of these tokens and these values and reuse them across many different widgets without having to compose a brand new widget whenever you want to make a small change or a small iteration on it. So in a way, Mix allows not only to create easier design systems, but also to maintain design systems a little bit easier.
Okay, and how does Mix do that? Because you mentioned, let's just take consistent spacing as an example. On the one hand, I could create a series of global constants for different spacing amounts and use those constants throughout the code. But then you said there's no need to repeat widgets. If I use global constants, I'll end up repeating sized boxes all over the place. I could then instead, I could create a handful of widgets, which essentially just contain sized boxes of the desired space, like 4 pixels, 8 pixels, 16 pixels. And then I could drop those spacer widgets throughout my code. Where does Mix enter the equation here? How exactly does it provide this access to reusable design tokens in practice?
Yeah, so if you go into, let's take the example of the spacing, right? You can define these global or constant values and bring it in, right? Now, the challenge also becomes when you have multiple variations of this value, or you need a particular token that is just one piece of another style, right? So in the simplest term, I shared a link on the there of the website, but there's like a comparative overview, and we kind of go through a lot of like the different concepts. But the main goal of Mix is by having essentially a definition that is style sheets and a definition that can be of styles that can be defined outside of the build context. It does allow for you to have complete control of inheritance and composability of the styling without ever have to go within a specific widget for the styling purposes, right? So if you think about it, is the visual definitions, the visual language, and the visual semantics now are completely outside of the widget itself. And it allows you the code within the widget to focus just on the business logic while maintaining a very simple, easy to understand API.
Yeah, I think what I'm trying to get at here are concrete details. Because I will say, when, obviously I've been someone who has built packages and I've been steeped in all of the package details. For example, I talk a lot about SuperEditor, and SuperEditor is quite a complex package. And I know all these details on the inside that other people don't know. And so it's easy for me to end up describing things about SuperEditor that other people don't understand. And I've also been on the outside, as I am right now, listening to the description of Mix. And I'll say that everything I'm hearing from my perspective is very high level. It's very abstract. We're talking about design tokens, which are an abstract concept. We're talking about semantics, which is an abstract concept. We're talking about separating style from business logic, which is an abstract concept. Can you make this concrete for us from the perspective of someone who's used to writing Flutter code? What is the nature of Mix? Where does someone actually use it in that Flutter code? What should they expect that it actually looks like? Even saying style sheet is ambiguous in the world of Flutter because Flutter doesn't have a document object model. Flutter isn't all based on box layout. So it's not even clear what a style sheet means in the world of Flutter code. Can you dig into some of the more specifics and help the audience understand in concrete terms what Mix does for them?
Yeah, and there's a little bit of a predicament to talk about something that is so visual and solves a visual problem with audio only. So it's a pretty funny irony there. So you can think of, and I shared here also some examples of styling with Mix. But most people, when they go ahead and build a Flutter app and they style a Flutter app, they essentially are using the material theme, right? So they're using the theme class and material themes and they are using the material widget theming in order to do that. Okay, so in a try not to be a more straightforward way is that Mix essentially can replace the material side, and it provides similar APIs with a lot of other benefits that allows you to style these widgets without depending only on the material side of things. Because nowadays, you can only use material values, again, when it comes to the theme inside, a lot of the components. So they come down to the typography. Most people use the material text styles. You know, of course, you can define different themes for specific components. But in simplest terms, Mix allows you to create a custom, almost these completely custom styled widgets without depending on material itself, right? And we've seen that that's a little bit of a challenge that Flutter has. And we've seen moves of separating more material outside of some of these widgets. And also, there's been some work done to maybe create the canvas controls, right? Where essentially are these unstyled widgets. So Mix, in a way, it's a different approach to defining styles that is not material dependent within.
Okay, I think I'm just going to ask some specific questions then based on the documentation that I'm seeing so we can try to get some concrete details. I'm seeing throughout the documentation terms in code that begin with dollar symbols. For example, dollar symbol box. What is this dollar symbol notation? At what point is this resolved? Is there some kind of custom compilation step, or is dollar symbol box actually a like a global value in Mix? But what does that syntax mean?
Yeah, so normally the dollar syntax is used for code generation in some cases. Now, one thing that we have within Mix is we want to define a lot of these styling. And if you see on the example, whenever you see a dollar sign and a value, let's say dollar sign box, that's a utility, right? So utility pretty much allows to define attributes of that particular type of widget, right? So dollar sign box essentially creates a widget that allows you to define all the different styles and definitions of a box. And a box is just another name for a container. We are exploring and just waiting, hopefully soon, the release of macros in order to be able to start doing a lot of these things on build time and defining and even maybe experiment with generation of regular Flutter widgets. But if you look at the style and you see the dollar sign essentially is a convention that allows you to easily access the utilities within Mix. There was just a lot of different conflicts when you use things like just box or use things just like padding, right? Because the padding is a utility, but padding could also be the name of a property or so on. So we kind of went to this particular convention, if you will. However, you don't have to use it. We do have an API that allows you to define your own utility however you want it, whatever namespace you want. But essentially is when you see the dollar sign and the name is a utility that allows you to define that type of widget within Mix.
Naweed, your hand is up. Do you want
to
jump in?
Oh, wait. Before we go to Naweed, I'm going to take this high level again because what we really need here and what I think I have here is that like single like lightning bolt, which, you know, really helps explain what Mix is. So last week, you know, with Jasper, what helped me understand was seeing you write Dart code, you use, you know, tags, and then it outputs HTML. And that really helped me understand Jasper. So when I look at Mix, what I think helps me understand Mix, and I don't fully understand it yet, but what is really starting to help me understand is in the tweet box. If you look at the tweet that I pinned into the tweet box, Leo's tweet, you can see how a style is defined. And the way the style is defined, there's an on-pressed and on-long-pressed function. So what's happening here, it looks like, is that there's some type of programming logic being expressed in the style definitions. So essentially like a Turing complete programming language, but for styling. And with that, where this ties back into Flutter, and my understanding, is that we aren't happy with the Flutter API, and we're very, very unhappy with Flutter's button API, with the material state property, material state all, defining all the different states of the button property. And what I see here posted in the tweet, and what Mix is doing, is that it actually offers an alternative. So instead of using the API that we hate with the default Flutter buttons, we can actually use the alternative here with Mix and write the styling in a way that's more programmatic, that is more familiar perhaps to those coming from CSS or HTML. So essentially, Mix is offering, it's solving a problem, and in response to perhaps a lot of what we're asking for, an alternative to the material styled widgets, an alternative to the material buttons, and all of the somewhat unconventional Flutter APIs for styling, instead replacing it with a more programmatic styling language. So correct me if I'm wrong, Leo, but that's what's really helping me understand and see the potential is that, okay, we have things that somewhat really suck inside of the Flutter SDK with the Flutter widgets, and Mix is like a light, you know, at the end of the tunnel, perhaps, that's giving us, you know, an alternative.
Yeah, so it's using concepts and conventions used on other technologies in order to do that. So it is an alternative, especially when it comes to building design systems. And that's essentially the first time I saw a lot of the possibilities with Mix. Was initially, it came from some of the challenges of building custom, consistent design systems within Flutter. And with that, as soon as I put it out there and I was pretty much using it, we started exploring within the company, we started to notice that a lot of companies that had to build custom design systems, right? So these are not just developers that have a side project or developer that maybe they don't have like an identity or design language. You're talking about very large companies and enterprises that they have custom, well-defined design systems, or they have even multiple multi-brand design systems. When it comes to creating that within Flutter, they start having a lot of challenges. And that's when we start seeing a lot of people adopt Mix even on a pre 1.0 version. And we have companies already using Mix, and some companies already with millions of users using it because they had the need of creating their own design language and also creating a multi a brand design language.
Yeah, that actually helps. This makes perfect sense because so if you start from the standpoint, if you start from the starting point of a design system, then it becomes immediately obvious to anyone that Flutter's built-in material designs and styling is completely and woefully inadequate. Like, it's a no-go. And I've actually wasted probably like tens of thousands of dollars of developer hours on trying to style Flutter's own widgets in order to conform to a design system. So I'm very intimately familiar with those challenges. And it's obvious to anyone who's ever tried to build their own design system on top of Flutter. So if we're starting from that point, then I think that's what makes it all make sense. I do have like so many questions now about Mix and how it actually resolves those challenges. But if we're able to get everyone on the same starting point and realize that, okay, so the challenge is that you can't really build a design system on top of like Flutter's built-ins very easily and very well. So that's why we have to start from something that's a bit more descriptive and a bit more programmatic in the way of expressing the design system specifications. Okay, so I'm in a good place, and I hope everyone else can also get to this position as well. So I will hand it off to Naweed. Naweed, you have the floor.
Thank you, Ray. So I have a question for Leo. First of all, this is the first time I have looked into the Mix. I never even heard of it before, but I went through the documentation, and I understand that it is a styling language. And I really appreciate the way it has been done. To be honest, it is very similar to how it has been done in Xamarin. And I totally, I have nothing but praise the way Xamarin has approached the styling mechanism. And it is genius, to say the least. One problem that I see over here, and maybe that is a question for you, Leo. It might be my lack of understanding because this is the first time I'm seeing. So as I said, I understand how you are able to design, or you are able to lay out the styles upfront or even programmatically. What I understand from the documentation, to use these styles now, you have to use only in the 6 or 7 components that you have provided as part of your framework or the component library, for example, the box or the text box, etc. So there are only a handful of these. So if I want to say apply the same style or a style to a container, the default Flutter container or the default Flutter text entry and whatnot, is that possible?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for your question. I'll take a look. It's been a while since I worked with Xamarin, but it was like Xamarin Forms. But I'll definitely take a look to see if there's some lessons that we can learn from it. So initially, so there's two things. Mix it's provides its own widgets, right? So for example, if you look at the source code for Mix and you use a box, you're gonna see that the box actually resolves to a container. So the box is not like a container. A box, it's a container, right? So essentially what we did with Mix is have the foundational pieces like text, container, image, stack, flex, icon, and some of these very, very basic widgets, and bring them into Mix because those are, let's say, the most foundational pieces that you have there. We are working on a package for headless components called Remix, and I think that's where a little bit there's a confusion. And the goal of Remix is to actually have widgets that are more like a button, a checkbox, right? A text field. And those things can be styled and adjusted with Mix. However, if you look into the docs, we do have an example on how to bring Mix within your own widgets. So you can define any components, any widgets, and actually define and use Mix within. So one of the things that I'm actually working is creating an example of some of the material widgets and essentially using Mix to style other material widgets, let's say that bar or the text field, right? And I'm looking for here just a link here that I'll post it, which we're gonna get into it, but SuperDeck, which is actually a presentation and slide package. I've used Mix to style the slides, right? And they don't use boxes, they don't use all the components. You're actually defining and styling the header one, the header two, the tables within the slides, the image within the slides, the code snippets within the slides. So you can define those things and use any widget, any custom widgets. And we plan on, that's one thing that we are exploring now with Lucas, also Lucas, which is here in the chat. It's one of the main contributors on the project also. We have been working to maybe with macro some other ways to allow to automate or at least facilitate the definition of styling for other custom widgets.
Right. So Leo, this thing that you mentioned, so basically my understanding is that we will have to extend the current widgets and then we will be able to apply the styling. Is that correct?
No, you don't have to use the existing widgets. So there's a few primitives, and I'll discuss a little bit because I think Matt, you had asked about like what does this mean, how does it resolve? So essentially, Mix is providing this functional API, right, that allows you to define attributes there. But essentially, these become these attribute classes, and once they get passed into the widget during build time, they get resolved. So for example, if they're context dependent, they'll get resolved at that time using the context, right? So you can take some of these primitives and essentially bring this into any particular widget or custom widget without extending things like the box or the image, right? So you can pretty much define completely how you want the attributes to resolve, and Mix allows things that we call in the specs, where you define a spec, you define an attribute, and you define a builder that tells you how to resolve those attributes. So with those three things, you can essentially style any particular widget and take advantage of all the utilities within Mix. And I'll share here a link. I think it might give a little bit more visual representation what that looks like in practice.
Great. But meanwhile, I'll just want to highlight, just for the benefit of everyone, how Xamarin is doing this. And maybe this is something I really hope that Flutter also takes inspiration from and builds this as part of it. So let us take a very simple widget. Let's talk about, say, container, right? So container, we have width, we have the height attribute, we have the decoration, we have the border, we have this, we have that. There are so many different, sub attributes which are available. The way Xamarin does is that you can actually define a global style or maybe a page level style or a scope level style. You say that this style applies to, let's say, all the containers of any containers which are using this particular name. For example, I can say my fancy container style, and then in that style I will declaratively say, okay, if this style is used, then I want the width to be 200 pixels, the height to be 100, I want it to have a stadium border, I want it to be a thick border of say 2 pixels of this color and whatnot. Now I can define two containers in my page, and I can say for this container number one, use the style which is my fancy container style, and for the second one I don't provide anything. So the way it does is whatever attributes I've defined in that style, it will only apply those to the container where I've defined the style to point to this, and all the others will default. And it also gives me an ability to override something, so I can say container style is equal to that my fancy container style, but the height is equal to 500. So it will override the height from the main style definition, and it will draw it for me. So that is how Xamarin really does it. Now, I was thinking if there is a way it can be done in Flutter, but I believe, unfortunately, it cannot be, because Flutter does not, or any widget does not allow a widget level style attribute, which we can use to provide all this information. So is this what Mix is trying to do?
Yes. So it's a little bit, so people come with a lot of different experiences in different technologies, and a lot of technologies solve problems differently. So there's always a reference for people to say like, oh, Mix reminds me a lot of, let's say, something like Jetpack Compose or even SwiftUI on certain things. Other people mention things like Tailwinds or CSS and so on. And that's why it becomes sometimes a bit of a challenge to just explain, because people are bringing their experiences when it comes to defining these styles. But to touch on your points, I think the main challenge that we have with the styling system within Flutter is because it's very tied together with Material. And now it becomes difficult to just use Material for all the cases and different things. The Flutter team implementing things like theme extensions, which kind of gives a little bit more legs to it, but still doesn't, it does become, I say, still not ideal for a very robust design system. And I also shared just now here using Mix with a custom widget. And there's a video on how SuperDAC implemented Mix. So essentially it uses the Mix utilities in order to completely style and design a slide. And one thing that you can see is that on this example, there's a separate style file, and this style file only has the styling there. There's no business logic. You know, I don't have to define it. I don't have to do anything, right? So the widgets can focus on just having the business logic there, and I can not only have the separate styling, but now all the users can completely customize each piece of the presentation without having to touch any widget.
Right. So what doesn't make sense to me, and this is might be just be semantics, when you say business logic when it comes to widgets and the UI, I don't think of UI as having any business logic. UI is styling. And there's also the current trend and a lot of people realizing that, okay, so styling should probably be combined with the UI, and that it was a mistake in the beginning days to separate the document structure, the structure from the styling. So that's also a current trend that some people are realizing. But yeah, when you say business logic, that is a bit disconcerting to me, because business logic typically refers to like functions and code, right? Actual logic. But here you're referring to business logic as something that is expressed perhaps by the styling. So could you clarify what you mean by that? And also, why is it that like we're at a Mix and what these other things are doing are also somewhat against like the trends. So it seems like it's like going against like a trend as well.
Yeah, so I'm not saying that styling and visual semantics for me is very separate than business logic. My point is that Mix allows you to abstract that in a way that normally you don't see in a lot of the Flutter examples, Flutter code, and so on. So whenever you see even the examples of a styling of Flutter, if you have a button, for example, you're going to have a button that once you tap the button, it's supposed to, let's say, call a function, right? So you're going to have a widget that is there and so on. But now having any business states of the widgets gets mixed in with any state that is dependent for the styling, right? So if it's a dark mode or if someone is pressing within the widget, right? Any type of feedback, if the widget is on focus, if the widget is disabled, right? So I do agree with you, Ray, that it is supposed to be completely separate. But we do see a lot of the business rules, things like, okay, when I tap this widget, what does it do, and so on. And it does get it mixed in with some of the styling rules, right? because of the build context that sometimes they need in order to apply some of those things. There's an example here on Mix that kind of compares, let's say, a simple definition of a button with the Mix equivalent. So one thing that Mix does, they have things like context variants. So for example, if you want to apply styling on dark mode, if you want to apply styling when the widget is on focus, if you want to apply styling when a widget is disabled, all those things can be defined separately from within the widget. So you're defining those as the on the styling definition. So once it comes to actually implement any type of business logic within the widget, you don't have to kind of share the states between things that I need for the visual semantics and things that I need for the business logic themselves. Does that make sense?
Oh, sorry. I'll need to go back and listen to it again. I'm probably missing some fundamental understanding there. But no, that I'm not fully clear on that point yet. Yeah, we have some other speakers here. Sorry, go ahead, Matt. We have some other speakers on stage. But go ahead.
I was going to say, I think what we're finding here, again, kind of what I mentioned earlier, is that for those who are already using Mix, the purpose and what it does, how it does it, is all probably very clear. But I think we're finding for those of us that aren't already using Mix, it's quite difficult to understand what it's doing and why it's doing it. We don't need to kind of belabor that point here, because we can move on to talk about SuperDeck, which is, I think, has a very clear motivation and value. But I think, Leo, you might want to take another look at this documentation and really, like, there's a lot. The documentation is kind of similar to the way that we're talking about Mix, which is, it's either very high-level marketing talk or it's low-level isolated examples. And what it seems to be missing, just in my opinion, is the middle ground of saying, in a variety of examples, here's something you do with Flutter. Here in very specific terms, technical terms, is why that's a problem. Like, here's what it costs your company when you do it that way. Here's why it's regrettable. And then here's doing the same thing with Mix and why Mix is faster, it's more brief, it's easier to change, whatever it might be. I think that would probably go a long way to help people understand whether Mix is something they want to invest in or not. If you want to talk at some other point about maybe having me come in and do some of that messaging, I might be able to help. I think I tend to be able to boil things down to the core mechanics pretty effectively. But in any event, like, I've just been scrolling through, reading a bunch of the pages of the documentation, and I think I'm kind of where Ray is on this. I'm still lost as to what, like, I see syntax, but I'm lost as to what specific Flutter problems are being resolved here, or how things are being made better. So you mentioned that there are companies using it with millions of users. So I have no doubt that this is driving value. It would be great if the broader community could, like, come in here and within a page or two of text, understand what's so valuable about it, and then maybe build up a bit more of a user base. So I guess we can go across the stage to see comments there, but I think unless there's another substantive area, I'd personally be interested to move on to SuperDeck.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the feedback. And I think there's a bit of a, so for example, normally when people have the pain points that is more, let's say, design system specific, Mix becomes a very clear. And even to your point, Matt, the goal from Mix is not to replace Flutter styling completely. And maybe that's why there's a bit of a conversation, like, okay, hey guys, don't use the container, don't define styles in the container anymore, don't define styles in a flex, use Mix for everything. And maybe that would help give a little bit of context, because I don't think you should do that, right? So even with Mix, I still use standard Flutter widgets and so on. But when it comes to building that design language that is consistent throughout those components, that share the same characteristics and so on, that's where Mix comes in. Yeah, but I'll definitely, anything that can help improve and adjust. And one thing that we've been doing in Mix is trying to document a lot more for people currently using it. And that's why we're working on a project called Remix. Then it kind of applies the use cases. But the goal is not really sell anything, right? So we haven't been trying to sell, say, hey, you should use Mix because of this, this, and that, right? It is right now addressing a more specific problem, which is the design systems piece.
Yeah, so that's what I identified earlier. Like, if we start from the point of the design system, it becomes extremely clear and very obvious what Mix is for, right? But then here we identified that you're actually not trying to sell it, and that's the problem. So there's no reason for me as a developer to actually use it, because I don't have to worry. Well, from a developer standpoint, I can get what I want. I can build the app I want without the design system. Okay, so I think that's the disconnect. If you are in an organization and you have a design system requirement and you want to implement it, Mix makes perfect sense. But if you don't have the requirement of a design system, then it actually doesn't make I was about to say it doesn't make sense, but it's very confusing. It's very disconcerting then, because there's no like rationale and no benefit that I see it providing me as an individual developer. So I guess that's the audience. It's the different audience. And perhaps like one thing that really interested me about like understanding Mix and talking with you, Leo, is really trying to nail down. And I don't think we've nailed down this, really trying to nail down like what Mix does that actually helps like an individual developer and helps, you know, move this whole conversation, this whole development process forward. So like that whole trend of moving styling into where the actual widget and UI is, like that's one push that people are pushing towards. And then Mix just separates that somewhat. So where I am at in this conversation is, yeah, I'm at the same point that Matt and a lot of others are listening as well. Like if I were to come to Mix, I probably wouldn't choose it, you know, for an individual developer for my own purposes, because it does. I don't see the perceived benefits.
Yeah, and I think there is a little bit of that. So, for example, if you're gonna build an app today and you're gonna use Material, then you should use Material, right? And the main point is that as we start seeing adoption of people that want to have complete control, because even if you remove Mix from the equation and you start seeing the initiatives about removing a lot of the controls, the widget controls outside of Material, things like the canvas components, you are seeing a trend pointing at that direction, right? Which is removing Material for some of the let's say the lowest level widgets, right? So you are seeing that trend, and Mix kind of takes that concept there. But if you're using Material and you're trying to understand why you need Mix, I'll be the first one to tell you that most likely you don't need Mix if you're just using Material and using the Material widgets. The Material is good enough for you. Now, there's some which we plan on doing, Ray, which is we are working. Mix is a little bit of the engine. Then one package that we're working on, which we're going to be releasing beta soon, which is called Remix. That one, I think, is a little bit easier to grasp and so on, because you start seeing things like chat, CNUI, things like Radix, headless UI components. That do exist in a lot of other stacks, and we are not seeing that explosion within Flutter. And I do think it's because of some of these challenges that we talked about, which is the visual semantics being a little bit too tight with the Material side. So it does open up from some innovation on that front.
Yeah, is that the right direction though? Where, I mean, let's in terms of like the success of the users of your styling language, because you say that you have users and that they're using it. What I've seen from the companies that use React that are heavily into the design system, the result of their product is really, really bad. So yes, you conform to your design system and you have all this very tightly configured two specifications widgets. And then what happens is that development velocity actually slows down. It actually slows down because changing and customizing things, and now you're not just customizing the widget customizing the widget and getting the job done. Instead, what you have to do is you have to go through the corporate bureaucracy. First, put in a request to the design team to change things from maybe two or three levels up. Okay, and that's just insane. So, I guess that is how corporations work, but it adds just so much like overhead, and the result is really, really bad, because what happens is like developers, they're just here to do a job, right? They're just here to do their job, and most developers don't like to get into politics. So when they use the pre-built components and it fails, you know, it doesn't conform to the perfect use case, because you need to make some tweaks. And that's what the art is, the art of development, right? Where things aren't just cookie cutter. You have to make decisions in real time to get things to jive together, to gel together, gelling. And without that, with the very defined prescribed design system, that removes the actual art and expertise from developers. And what you have is people now just here to do a job because they don't want to get into politics. So the actual output is very, very corporate, and it just feels bad. I don't know if you've seen that. I've seen that like with, you know, quite a few products in the React space, and it just doesn't feel good. So that trend, like, is that even the right direction? I don't think it's the right direction, in my opinion.
So we're talking about, we're not even at version 1.0 yet. And I think it's very common for people to push back on things that look alien to them when it comes to a specific technology, right? But we need to address, and some ideas will work, some ideas will not work. But the main goal for Mix and using it internally is to open up for even the creation of different tools and very popular packages to make some of these issues easier, right, Ray? So some of the things you're touching on, I agree they are problems, but in our Invitech, Mix solves them. But Mix might be this abstraction layer that allows for the creation of these next tools to implement, right? That's why we are seeing more the creation of these headless widgets, but it's very limited within Flutter, right? Where we see the ecosystem outside of Flutter really explode of people trying new things. And this could be things like StyleX from Facebook, or it could be like Tailwinds, or it could be like Radix, right? It could be, so we're seeing the ecosystem try and flourish in some ways, and Flutter, that is not happening at the same scale. So that's my thesis. My thesis is because there's a little bit of a more foundational challenge that it happens there. But yeah, I love to discuss, and of course, we're loving the feedback. And more, I think the next steps for the tools and guides will continue to improve and give a better definition there. And we can touch on, I know that Matt wants to talk about SuperDuck. So unless anyone has any questions.
Yeah, let's go to Cillian. Actually, let's go to Lucas. And then Cillian. Lucas has been on stage since the beginning. So I don't know if you're there, Lucas, but you have the floor.
Okay, I've been working with Leo in this project, and a couple of years ago we used Mix to build the design system in my company, and it helped us a lot because one of the things that are required for us from the design team was a white label design system. And then with Mix we could separate the logic of, you know, the not the logic but the structure of the component. So a button is all the time a label in the middle or a label with an icon in the left or in the right, but always something the same, you know, the same structure for all of those brands. So we could maintain the code without make things there and change only the style. So for us it was really good, to be honest, because it helped us to look the same as in the Figma, you know, because when the design team sent to us the style guide and how that component and the components tokens, we could replicate it in using Mix really good because it looks the same and we have only a class with those component tokens and could be easy to change and subscribe and for different brands. So it helps us a lot in this situation. When you have a brand and we have a lot of brands, choose the same design system that the components are the same structure. Makes sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it mirrors and lets you just take what you have in Figma and put it into Mix so you can reuse it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And like I said before, Mix makes like perfect sense if you're starting from design systems and if you're starting from Figma. So I have no disagreements and no questions there. Like that makes perfect sense to me.
That's it.
Since you've used it for like quite a while, Lucas, would you say that it's been flexible enough for your implementation on the development side? Because it looks like it is. So that's what's really exciting too. How's your experience been with it?
Okay, we could, you know, because in our requirements, we have a specific brand, that's the base brand. So after we receive more brands to implement it, and we could change even the design tokens and then the component tokens. So there are two different things that we can change a lot, you know. For example, in one brand we have a specific tokens for ready, you know, and in the other brand the tokens are the same but change for only that component. So we could do it. Do you know what I mean? It makes sense for you? Because, for example, in the first, in the main brand, the button is square. But in the other brand, the button is pale. But the design tokens are the same. You know, the values are the same. But for only for that component, we could change it. So it makes sense for us because we have this case of use.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And white labeling, like for sure. Holy crap! Yeah, you need the ability to have some logic in order to express your design system and be able to inject situational, brand specific design concepts at different levels at a different, you know, design hierarchy. So you have like essentially like flowing like squares, like you mentioned that example of the squares. You wouldn't want to inject that at the button level. And Mix lets you do some of that more easily than a lot more easily and manageable than without
create
it.
Class is specific for that component. So yeah, it's easy. We create only style, and it's a base style, and then we can only add the values that changed, you know. So we have the base, but for this component, only the radius change. So we can do it. So that's the I think the main use case of Mix. Yeah, and
right.
If you see the most part of the white label apps, they don't change the button level. They just change the design token levels, you know? So we can with Mix go through of it. We can deeper and deeper and deeper and change the component. So for us, it was the biggest thing.
I love it. That's really helpful. But man, it's okay. Yeah, that's it's good, but I'm just so like, what I'm a little bummed about is you have this really great, essentially like almost like Turing complete like scripting language for design, and it just feels like very complex. There's a lot of complexity. So I guess that's, I think I've narrowed down my hesitation with it. It's that something that is supposed to be make your life simpler, you know, like the goal of these tools, right? It's to do something, and to, at the end of the day, having Mix is supposed to make your life easier and better than not having Mix, right?
Yeah, sure.
So that's got to be, you know, the selling point. And then when you look into it, it's like, oh my gosh, this is actually now a lot more complexity. And sometimes the complexity seems to overwhelm the benefits. So that's where I'm tripping up on.
Okay. Well, I'm going to exercise host prerogative here and say, I think we've beaten that dead horse to death a few more times. So I think let's move on to SuperDeck and let's talk about all of the value and potential over there. Although, Jess, you came up on stage, so let me just give you one chance to jump in if there was anything you
want. Oh, and Cillian, too. We skipped Cillian. So Cillian was next.
Okay, let's do that order then, Jesse, and then let's get on to SuperDeck.
Yeah, I was just going to point out there's definitely interest in general from the Flutter community to have a way to style that's not material. And, you know, there was a big thread, a couple weeks ago, where I think Hixie had shared a private Google Doc with the team to try to work through some of these issues. And, you know, the Flutter team had decided to remove a lot of the kind of current Flutter material state props into widget state props. And they were attempting to kind of help address this community concern that, you know, Mix is also trying to address. And a lot of people in the community were giving them negative feedback that, you know, while it's nice that you renamed it, renaming it doesn't really solve the problem of when you have some state in your component that's not whether it's hovered. And so it's not in the enum, but it really is a styling thing. So some of these issues that Mix is addressing are very real. And the Flutter team is, you know, aware that people are frustrated with material styling and maybe trying to make some moves in the direction to address it. But ultimately, it seems like we're probably going to need something from the community to address it, because they're mostly at this point renaming things and kind of not making large enough changes to enable some of the types of things that Mix is.
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yep.
So I just wanted to ask, so we've talked a lot about this mix and trying to walk through how it's a good idea and the problems that it solves. And I've gotten a few of them in my head. I was just curious, as somebody who's not particularly experienced with, you know, things like Tailwind or Mix or even, you know, web CSS for that matter, what are the footguns or the biggest like problems you run into with this approach? Because in my eyes, I would see, is it potentially hard to, as Ray pointed out, that the general pattern has been moving towards keeping the style and the, you know, with the component. Is one of the biggest challenges with this that it's hard to know sometimes whether something comes from a base style or it's an overridden style or where the style is changed and by what? Or are there other difficulties with this approach that might be useful to know?
Thanks for the question. I'll touch on this one briefly so I don't get kicked out by Matt. talking too much about Mix, I'm just kidding. But I think one thing that is important to keep in mind is that all approaches, they can come with challenges if they don't have some type of organization behind it and convention, right? So you can write, horrible styling widgets in Flutter, you can write horrible styling within Mix. If you tell me like, what is one of the challenges of Mix is because Mix is meant to give a lot of flexibility to how you style things. And the downside is because it gives you a lot of flexibility the way you style things. So it is, we are working on creating some best practices and approaches and even internal tooling in order to help with some of these things, including maybe like in some integration with Figma. But it is a challenge in order what is the convention, how you should organize it, because it's a little bit too flexible. So I think that's one of the downsides when you kind of give the flexibility and separate it, the visual semantic side.
Thank you. It's Killian, by the way. It's pronounced Killian. It's like Killian Murphy the actor. Just said I'd say that.
Sorry about that. Thanks, Killian.
All right. Should we talk about SuperDeck?
Let's.
Okay. Well, let's just start with the motivation. What's the problem? What's the solution?
Right. So the initial motivation for SuperDeck, I give a lot of talks, Flutter talks, through GDEs, but it's always something I always did, which is creating slides and presentation slides. And one of the things that I always wanted to do is a way to be able to create a version of presentations. And in order to be able to keep track, right? Sometimes I create a presentation and I want to make a small change for a specific talk that I'm giving somewhere, or making an adjustment to allow people to continue to reference it later. So I like the way a presentation could be source control, if you would. So I was interested into solving a problem of creating presentations with Markdown because it would address some of those things. And also, when you're giving a presentation and you use Flutter code, there's always this switching that happens between the presentation and now I'm going to do the demo and I'm going to go back to the presentation. So I wanted to tie those things together where once I have a particular code that works, I would like to be able to show interact with that code within the presentation, right? But also having all the benefits of, let's say, the non-Flutter specific things that could be defined within Markdown. So it became a tool that I was using to create some of these presentations and demo widgets for some of the Flutter code and talks I was giving.
And did you happen to look at any alternative existing Flutter slideshow packages before jumping into your own? Or did you just look at the presentations you were giving and think, I'm gonna go build some tooling for myself to give presentations?
Yeah, so when I first started working Super Duck, and I was mentioning that I was gonna open source it, but because it was working for my use case, so I didn't wanna open source it and start people right away say, okay, but it doesn't work for this case, it's very narrow and so on. That's why I waited a little bit. But I started working on Super Duck probably a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and it hasn't been very active. It was just like as I gave talks. And I do know that we have things like Flutter Duck today. So there's a few solutions that help build that. The issue that I had is a lot of the solutions, and I think there's two, maybe a few more, they use the Flutter approach to building presentations, meaning I'm defining the slides and the content of the slides with Flutter code and Flutter widgets. And I wanted to define it within Markdown. So essentially is I want to have one Markdown page that people can see it and see all the content for the presentations, but I can deploy anywhere, I can build it, I can demo it on the web, on my machine. But at the end of the day, it's just Markdown. So I didn't see a solution that was using Markdown. I think on the website, we have things like, I think it's called Slide Dev, which is similar, but obviously it doesn't really work with Flutter, right? It's more web code specific. So I'll probably say that that's one of the motivations Super Duck kind of borrowed and adds to it. But the initial approach was the Markdown presentation side.
Does Super Duck still allow you to define slides with widgets if you want to? So for example, if you have one slide that's super custom and it doesn't make sense to kind of base it on Markdown, can you still say define this slide with these widgets?
So Super Duck has, let's say, a layout that allows you to reference a widget. So yes, you can have a widget that takes the whole slide or part of the slide, and you can define those things. But it's not as composable from a widget perspective, meaning, oh, I just want to remove a particular header. I want to add a footer to every slide and so on. So it doesn't have that layer of composability from a widget perspective.
Okay, you lost me there at the end. If you can provide a widget tree for a slide, why wouldn't that be as composable as any other widget tree?
You can for a specific slide, but you cannot compose it from, let's say, the containers. So for example, let's say I want a footer on every single slide. So there's not a way to, at least right now, to compose and overwrite a widget that is reused on every single slide. So that's the main difference. You can add a widget tree to a specific slide, but reusing that widget in a way that is like, okay, I want the same footer, the same header with the content, that is not something that Super Duck does yet.
Okay. I would imagine that's not too difficult to add later, just depending on how you pull the layout for slides. If you let people define a new layout and you let them also reference the existing layout, then it wouldn't be hard to make that happen. But I think that's all in all a relatively small issue. So given it's built with Flutter, does Super Duck work equally well on all platforms, Mac, Windows, Linux, and web?
Yes, I've been using mostly on Mac and web, and I'll share a link here. You can see on the repository, you can see the example that has been deployed on the web and also the Markdown that was used to create it. So I can go ahead and share here. But yeah, the GoSo supports all the platforms. The only thing is that because of things, someone like with the assets, I'll give an example, Matt. So for example, if you use Mermaid syntax, and I think everyone is familiar with Mermaid, right? It allows you to create diagrams and so on in Markdown. So if I have a presentation that has Mermaid syntax, what SuperDeck does is it converts that syntax into an asset, image, or SVG, and replaces it when it builds the presentation, right? So because of some of these things, not all the process can be done on the web because of supports. So a lot of the, let's say, the build process and some of these customizations, they happen on the, you know, the desktop version of the peripheral.
Okay. And so most of these slideshow applications that we use, like Keynote and PowerPoint, the application is primarily an editor, and then when you want to present, you press the presentation button. I'm guessing SuperDeck doesn't have a dedicated editor. You can correct me if I'm wrong about that, but also assuming that it doesn't, how does someone get into the presentation mode? Do they just run the app and initially you're already in presentation mode in a window and then you press to full screen it? Or what's the story there about how someone actually gets a full screen presentation with SuperDeck?
Yeah, so right now, essentially there's a menu that you can hide if you wanted to kind of navigate it, it helps you navigate. But SuperDeck is meant to be essentially a full screen presentation. So you're there by default, but if you want to access some options, like if you want to export to PDF, or you want to kind of check the presentation, especially when you're working on the presentation, a thumbnail view, it's helpful. You can open that up while you're working on. But the default view is essentially it's the full screen mode.
How does it get launched? Is this package, would someone activate this as a global package and then run it from the terminal? Or do you expect that people include this as a package in their own Flutter project and they say Flutter run or something else?
So that's a great question. Because of the need, the initial need for you to run custom widgets and custom code, this SuperDeck is a dependency that you can bring into a Flutter app, right? So you create a brand new Flutter app, you bring the SuperDeck dependency, and if you need to create custom widgets and so on, you can do it. However, if you don't have the need to have custom Dart code, custom widgets as part of your presentation, and all you need is Markdown, I'm going to work on is to release a standalone app, right? So a standalone app, and that's even one thing that I was kind of curious about was like things like, you know, Super Editor, because right now, obviously, I'm using, you can use any Markdown editor or VS Code, but you the plan is to have as a standalone app if you don't have the need to have, you know, widgets or Dart code within your presentation. If all you need is to create a presentation and the Markdown is enough.
And okay, so if you include SuperDeck in your own Flutter app, so your Flutter app here is your presentation, you include SuperDeck, and then you essentially tell SuperDeck to run with your Markdown content or widgets. When I say Flutter run, am I immediately in full screen mode? It just goes, it builds, it starts it running, and the moment it starts running, it's taking over my whole screen?
Yes. So the main goal for SuperDeck is to be a standalone app still, meaning that, like, if I'm working on a presentation, you know, hopefully I have a separate Flutter project that I'm using for the presentation. The goal is not for you to use SuperDeck. Let's say, oh, I have an app that I want to do a presentation about. Let me bring SuperDeck into the project of that app, right? That's a little bit overkill. But the goal is to essentially run the SuperDeck app, similar to how you run the Material app widget within a Flutter project. There's like a SuperDeck app widget that you add within the app there. And with this, it pretty much opens, you know, in full screen mode, and you have a navigation there, and you can reference custom widgets and so on.
Okay, so when I say Flutter run for my own app, I'm going to immediately be in full screen mode. It's going to take over my whole screen.
Correct.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I understood that part.
Yeah. And one thing that it does is it kind of keeps the aspect ratio of a presentation, right? So it kind of limits to the aspect ratio, and also it's completely scalable, right? So once I open up the app on desktop, and if you kind of maximize the window or you move the window around, you can see that the style is a little bit different. So for SuperDeck, it moves like you would expect the presentation to be, meaning all the images, all the fonts and everything, they scale as you make the window bigger and smaller. So there's a specific aspect ratio and scaling as you move through that. They're all tied together, similar to what you expect on something like Keynote or PowerPoint.
Right. I'm wondering if there's ever going to be a true editor, that certainly makes sense as an app. I'm wondering if the rest of it makes more sense as a CLI tool, because building and distributing like desktop apps that people have to locate and download, and then you have security concerns you have to deal with. You have to sign them with certain certificates. It's kind of a pain to make them, pain to maintain them, pain to download them. But I'm thinking, there could be a Dart CLI tool here where you could go to a directory where you have some markdown files, and you could just say, run this as a SuperDeck slideshow. You could say that from the command line, and it just runs from there. Also, I could imagine people creating their own kind of slide templates, their slide themes for just themselves or for their company. Maybe they're public, maybe they're private. But the CLI tool could allow people to again, go to a directory and say, not only do I want to run this as a slideshow, but I want you to go load this theme from, let's say, my repository, my personal one or my company repository. And the CLI tool could essentially bring down the theme code, build the app that displays the deck right there in that directory, and then immediately shows it. And so I think a lot of that could be provided as a CLI tool, which might actually be more convenient than downloading the app in various places.
Yeah, I think it does open up a lot of different possibilities when you have something as simple as a markdown in order to do a presentation. And I do agree with you. The CLI is something that I have initially, something that is very rough on my side. But even as far as automating a lot of the deployment process, so for example, I create a presentation and I want to deploy it on the web because I want to share with people also, right? That whenever you give talks, that can happen a lot. So I think the CLI opens up for a lot of the other use cases of the presentation, the build process, things like deployment, or even interaction with other things. So for example, I did a talk in Flutter Latin that I implemented, at the time it was Palm, but Gemini API into it. So essentially I could go in and give a prompt, and I could have a complete presentation generated in real time with selections of photos, and I could change the content and so on, because it was very simply markdown, right? So obviously you want to start bringing all these dependencies within SuperDeck, but the CLI might address some of these cases.
Sounds good. Would anybody else on stage like to ask any questions about SuperDeck?
Anyone else want to ask any questions? If not, then I have a lot. I have a few questions to ask.
Go for it.
I just shared the demo, like the web demo of SuperDeck, if you want to see what it looks like. So essentially, this is a presentation I have locally, but I was able to just deploy on the web and share around. I think it's shared here.
And it works really well on mobile too. So
I think we talked about, or we tweeted about this to you, Leo. This is really impressive. Like, holy crap. Yeah, it's perfect for mobile too, because it's got like the side menu and it's just so smooth. Like, freaking A.
I do.
Yeah, so before I jump into any questions, Leo, I want to give you like the opportunity to talk about SuperDeck, you know, in whatever way you want to. So you're our guest here, and we've asked some really hard questions in this session. So yeah, go ahead. If you want to, you know, talk about whatever you want to talk about, I want to give you that time.
Oh, I appreciate it. And I think I think it's always good to get perspectives and kind of do an exercise in checking out blind spots when it comes to that. I think my approach to open source, and you're gonna see something on SuperDeck, as I mentioned, is I think my open source projects are love letter to the technologies I enjoy using, right? To Flutter, and I like the idea of trying to push Flutter not to its limits from what it's meant to do, but actually provide elegant implementations, or at least try of an idea of some other use cases, right? Now, obviously, as very involved as far as like talks and community and so on, I do think it's a solution, right? So it's kind of like dog fooding, right? Is everything I've ever built in open source is meant to solve problems that I had and exist, but it meant that I didn't want to completely switch the technology, right? Because there are benefits of Flutter, right? I'm a big believer in Flutter and where it's going. So whenever I see things that could be done better, my reaction is not just, okay, let me drop Flutter. Let me see if I can kind of bridge the gap, building something else, try something else in order to make that a little bit better. But yeah, definitely appreciate it. And again, always like feedback and so on. And it's always exciting to share some of these things with the community, because as I mentioned, is that after you share with the community, they take in a way that you didn't expect it, and you start seeing a lot of different opportunities and possibilities.
Yeah, thanks for saying that, Leo, and thanks for understanding. Like, we're coming from a point, so you built this package. You have so much expertise, right? And like the Flutter community, and what we try to do at these spaces is trying to get people to level up and, like, so we can have like a conversation on an equal playing field. And have you, as you've, you know, been at these spaces before, you know that it's like slogging through mud sometimes. Like, we've made so much progress, but it's like step by step and step by step. And it just takes, like, we have to be dragged sometimes. It's really hard. So thanks for understanding that.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I think it makes it everything, the community, a lot better for it. So I appreciate it.
All right. Well, that sounds like things are beginning to wind down. So let me give an invitation to everyone in the audience here, one last opportunity to come up on stage and ask any questions about Mix or SuperDeck that you'd like. Everybody from the audience is always welcome. So we'll give you guys a moment to hit that mic button and come up. But in the meantime, why don't we begin with closing remarks? So we'll go, and you don't have to have closing remarks, but if you do, we'll go Jesse, then Leo, then Ray, and then if no one else has come up, I'll close us out. Jesse, do you have any closing remarks?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool to see stuff like Mix and people trying to solve the styling problem. I think, you know, for us, styling is always a little bit of a pain trying to fight material, because we don't want our app to look material. So I think it's awesome that people are trying to solve the problem, and I'm looking forward to more and more people throwing their hat in the ring. And eventually, I'm sure either something's going to take over, or something's going to get integrated back into the framework to make it a little less material specific. So all good.
Thanks, Jesse. Leah, would you like to offer any closing remarks about Mix, Superdeck, anything else?
I think I've already talked too much. I'd like to say just thank you, Matt, Ray, for hosting and having and be able to share some of these packages and things that we're trying out. I think it exposed, again, I'm never here to sell anything, but I think feedback and pain points and learn from the community, but also see what is being done and the work that is being done. I think I've learned a lot from the spaces that I've mostly just listening, not active. So yeah, thank you guys for having me and hosting this every week.
Of course, happy to have you. And we appreciate you being here to talk about your projects and working through all of our questions and critiques. Ray, how about you?
Hey, everyone. Yeah, thanks, Leo, so much for coming on and really helping us understand a mix. So we didn't before this. I didn't know that Mix started from the design system and that it started from the Figma tokens and Figma variables, etc. So having that frame of reference, having that understanding really helps me understand, okay, this is why we use Mix, because if you want to meet the requirements of your, you know, corporation and your design team and not run into all these roadblocks that we've run into with Material, then use Mix. So that is like an absolutely outstanding support of using Mix. So thank you for, you know, coming and helping us understand that. And then Superdeck, wow, it just looks really incredible. So I love it. And I'd love if there was some way that, you know, we can get Mongridas to also combine your efforts and contribute. That might be something that you two can talk about, because he's also building a deck package. What was exciting for me is that since yours is Markdown, the moment you said it was Markdown, it just popped into my head that, hey, you can actually use generative AI and Gemini to help you essentially build all your slides for you. And you've also, yeah, I need to find your presentation then. And if you have you shared your presentation of using generative AI to build a package? If so, let us know, because that's super cool.
Yeah. So I'll share then, just bringing it full circle. What Markdown does for the presentation, Mix does for the styling. So one thing that we'd be able to do is actually have the generative AI not only generate the content, but actually complete style, specific slides in a way that is more professional, playful, with different colors and so on. So those two different abstractions, actually, they come very handy together. But yeah, Ray, I'll definitely be sharing that. And Mix and Superdeck are going to be hitting 1.0 probably by next week. So it's still the initial release, but at that point, I think it'll be ready for people to contribute and take in with ideas and so on.
Oh, that just hits the point home. That's like a home run. And that's also what Google's pushing, if you've seen that. So Google is, their first example of using Gemini is to generate styles for material design. And that was just like somewhat of a, it felt like a disaster, because it just exposed how like limited material, the whole material spec API is. So yeah, I'd love to see that. And if you have like an app that you just type, you know, whatever like style you, prompt you want, and then it actually shows, hey, here's how you do it with Mix, that might be, you know, really helpful for people to understand. But yeah, I think you hit it. That's a home run there, Leo. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Ray. Killian, did you want to jump in with final thoughts?
Yeah, thanks. So I just wanted to echo a little bit what's already been said, which is like it's thanks for the work there with Mix. It's cool to try new things because design systems are hard to build. It's hard enough to build your own from scratch, but it's also maybe even harder to bend material to do what you want. And so trying new things, new approaches is, in my eyes, always going to just be net positive that maybe we discover new approaches and better ways to do these things. So that's great. And also just want to say thanks for pushing Flutter outside of, you know, the normal bounds of what we think it should be. And this is kind of similar to what I see is you doing, Matt, a lot with the likes of the Static Shock and a lot of the other tools that you build. I think it's great that we have Flutter and we can build apps with Flutter, and, you know, to some extent we can build web apps with Flutter, but it's also, I think it's good for the future of Flutter that we push it outside of what it's seen as its perfect use case. So I think that'll only be good for Flutter in the long run. So yeah, appreciate it. And thanks for hosting the space.
Yeah, thanks, Killian. Appreciate you coming up on stage. And you know, we appreciate everyone that joins us regularly and joins us on stage regularly. That's what keeps the conversations going. But with that, it looks like we've reached the end of today's space. I do want to remind everyone that we try to host these every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific. The recorded versions are available in a podcast. The podcast is called Flutter Spaces. It's available on Amazon, Apple, and Spotify. Also, you can go to flutterspaces.com and listen to our previous episodes there as well. If you would like any help on your proprietary projects, I'm available. You can find me at superdeclarative.com. Also, if your team or your company would like to share funding with other companies to solve shared problems in the open, in open source, check out flutterbountyhunters.com. With that, thanks everyone for being here, and we'll see you next week.